This is Hardy Midday, Hardy County's daily radio news program. For the next 10 minutes, we will bring you the latest in local news and events, sports, weather, agriculture, and much more. If you have an upcoming event in Hardy County, feel free to send it to hardymidday@gmail.com. Please remember to include any necessary information about your event in your message. Hardy Midday is brought to you by First National Bank of Wauchula, 406 North 6th Avenue in Wauchula, and online at fnbwauchula.com. Hardy Midday starts now.
Good afternoon, I'm J.J. Bolus, and this is Hardy Midday for March 5th, 2024. Here's what's happening in the news from across the area. From Manatee County, after a spill of more than 1 million gallons of wastewater, nearby residents in Bradenton Wastewater Facility are saying enough is enough. Brigham Harris has more.
This spill is a drop in the metaphorical bucket. I'm told what means more is why this keeps happening. Both residents and environmentalists saying that something needs to give, something needs to make this stop. After more than a million gallons were spilled in Bradenton and diverted into the Manatee River, local environmentalists are weighing in on the latest chapter of the Suncoast water conundrum. Blockage in the filter system is what led to a tank overflowing for approximately 90 minutes, and that a bypass valve had to be opened to divert the flow to the Manatee River. Abby Turna, executive director of the Suncoast Waterkeeper, says a suit brought by the organization to the city in 2022 was supposed to keep this from happening.
From the pipes leaving people's communities and homes to the pump stations to make sure that they're operational even in times of emergency when the power goes down to the actual wastewater treatment facility.
Turna says the Sarasota and Manatee County areas are experiencing growth to which the municipality's infrastructure need to catch up.
They have to also look at how they're going to increase capacity as development and more people move to this area.
She's saying with more accidents like this and more water being polluted, it's a health and safety issue that everyone needs to be aware of.
The public needs to know.
A member of a neighboring community, Juan Abreu, says he notices an unusual smell every now and then. But if spills of this magnitude continue, he says he's ready to pack his bags.
That's a serious problem. If it's something that's gonna keep on happening, then, you know, happening, so I would move.
Now, we did reach out to the city of Bradenton, and they were unavailable for comment at this time. Even though it's been more than a year since we all felt the devastating winds of Hurricane Ian, the effects are still being felt across our area. FEMA has announced a six-month extension of the Direct Temporary Housing Program through September 29th of 2024 for eligible households in Charlotte, Collier, DeSoto, Hardy, Lee, Sarasota, and Volusia counties. Since Hurricane Ian, FEMA has provided temporary housing units for over 1,300 displaced families in the state. Working through the Florida Division of Emergency Management and local partners, more than 650 families have found more permanent housing. FEMA counties working closely with state and local officials and volunteers to help nearly 700 still living in temporary housing facilities. The disaster case managers are also working one-on-one to help those families in need across the area. In accordance with the FEMA housing program rules, regulations, and those continuing to live in FEMA temporary housing units after March 29th of 2024 will be responsible for paying monthly rent. Rental rates may vary depending on the size of the temporary housing unit, but will not exceed the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development fair market rate. Residents will receive a letter about their individual situations. Residents with questions can speak with FEMA directly. And you can get more information on Florida Recovery Program after Hurricane Ian. You just visit floridadisaster.org/info. And to contact FEMA, their website is fema.gov/disaster /4673. Now, if you need any of that information, you can contact us at the station at 773-9282. In Tallahassee, Florida, lawmakers address potential ban on gas-powered leaf blowers in the state of Florida. Some cities have passed ordinances banning the gas-powered leaf blowers for different reasons, such as noise and, as they call it, air pollution. But lawmakers in Tallahassee are pushing back to pass statewide legislation that would stop cities and counties from banning gas-powered leaf blowers.
And so now we have city commissions that are mandating that homeowners, that business owners who serve their community buy, purchase, maintain, and charge specific kinds of equipment. There's nothing prohibiting people who would rather have those using battery-powered devices from hiring them. They want the city to save them. And so this, to me, is akin to mandating that you screen in pools, mandating that you have leather seats in your car. These are all choices consumers can make, and they're free to make them. Having a city mandate this choice is preposterous.
That is Florida State Representative Jason Browder from Sanford. The state-level preemption would stop local cities and counties from banning gas-powered leaf blowers, at least for a year. This would also include a study that would cost around $100,000 to determine the lifespan of a gas versus electric-powered leaf blower. This measure contained in the state Senate budget bill would still need the approval of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. We will keep you posted as this continues to unfold. And a follow-up story from a few days ago, one dead, two injured after a crash in Polk County. A 50-year-old Haines City man died at a local hospital after a crash on Polk City Road early Sunday morning, according to the Florida Highway Patrol. Troopers say 35-year-old Haines City man driving a Nissan Rogue was headed west as a 29-year-old Haines City man was driving a Honda Pilot. He was headed east on Polk City Road at around 3:30 a.m. The 35-year-old lost control of the Nissan and entered the path of a Honda near the intersection of Prado Grand Avenue, according to officials. Authorities say the front of the Honda hit the passenger side of the Nissan. The 50-year-old man, who was in the passenger seat of the vehicle, was taken to a hospital where he later died, according to the Florida Highway Patrol. Troopers say both drivers had minor injuries. And when we come back here on Hardy Midday, we will check your weather forecast for Wauchula and all of Hardy County. Plus, coming up, we have your agri news, business news, and sports news. It's all straight ahead right here on Hardy Midday. We'll be right back.
Whether you're buying or refinancing, you've got to find yourself a good mortgage company. Lenders are a dime a dozen these days, so it's hard to know who to work with. First National Bank of Wauchula is the local name to trust. We are easy to work with and will work to get you the best rate possible. If you are looking for a 30-year fixed rate or a custom non-conforming home loan, we can help. Give us a call at 863-773-4136. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Punta Gorda's Downtown Hoedown returns March 7th, featuring country greats, the Kentucky Headhunters, and the amazing Little Texas. Thursday evening, March 7th, on the waterfront at Lashley Park in Punta Gorda. To order your tickets, call 800-514-ETIX. That's 800-514-3849, or buy online at puntagordaconcerts.com. Remember, puntagordaconcerts.com.
And welcome back to Hardy Midday. I'm J.J. Mullis. Here's a look at your weather forecast for Wauchula and all of Hardy County. A 20% chance of showers or a thunderstorm, mainly after 4 p.m. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high today near 83. Tonight, a 50% chance of showers or a thunderstorm, mostly cloudy with an overnight low of 67. The winds will be out of the southeast at around 10 miles per hour. New rainfall amounts between a quarter to a half an inch are possible. Then for Wednesday, showers, thunderstorms likely before 1 p.m., then becoming more numerous later in the afternoon. partly sunny before the rains move in with a daytime high near 81. The chance of rain will be around 70%. Winds could gust as high as 20 miles per hour. That's for tomorrow. Then for tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of around 64. West winds around 7 miles per hour. Thursday, mostly sunny, high near 81. Winds will be light and variable with a daytime high, once again, 83. For Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 63. And that's your weather forecast, and here's your Agri-News.
The Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Longtime U.S. Senator Johnny Isakson, a staunch advocate for Georgia agriculture throughout his 43-year legislative career, died on December 19th. He was 76. According to the Georgia Farm Bureau, Isakson, who received the 2020 Georgia Farm Bureau Commodity Award, was a 9-time recipient of the Friend of Farm Bureau Award given by the American Farm Bureau Federation to members of Congress who vote in agreement with Farm Bureau on bills affecting agriculture. The nation's average gas price declined for the sixth straight week, down 2.9 cents from a week ago at $3.30 a gallon. The national average is down 11 cents from a month ago, but still $1.09 per gallon higher than a year ago. The national average for diesel declined 2 cents in the last week and stands at $3.58 per gallon. GasBuddy's Patrick DeHaan says the decline in gas prices will likely continue until new COVID cases slow down. The EPA recently extended the expiration deadline for pesticide applicators certification plans. The 2017 Certification of Pesticide Applicators final rule had set stronger standards for people who apply restricted-use pesticides and required authorities with existing certification plans to submit proposed modifications by March 4, 2020. Existing certification plans remain in effect until EPA completes its reviews and approves the proposed plan modifications, or until those plans expire on March 4th.
You've probably been told that to reach a millennial farmer, you have to go digital. Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, an online publication, or maybe a podcast. But which one? Oh, and how receptive is this age group to your sales pitch during non-work social time? Maybe the best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they are, well, quite frankly, farming. You know, it's easy for us to find them during the day as most farmers are behind the wheel of a pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. If you'd like to deliver information about your terrific product or service, give us a call and we'll connect you directly with our community of loyal farmer listeners. Reach real farmers right here, right now as they listen to what is important to their farm operation. They trust us. They'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update.
Listen up, farmers and neighbors. S&S Irrigation and Farmer Supply can take care of all your irrigation needs, from house pumps to turbine service and backhoe service and more. Whatever your irrigation needs, including PVC pipes for pump and repair services, call owner and manager Randall Smith, 863-773-6255. Also on call if needed. That's S&S Irrigation and Farmer Supply, located at 127 North George Burris Avenue in Wachula. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m.
All right, and now here's Laura Bennett.
I'm Laura Bennett with the Southeast Regional Ag Report. Livestock producers may have one more tool to reduce the challenges that come with a difficult job. A bill that would create more price transparency in the marketplace, introduced by Representative Dusty Johnson of South Dakota.
What this bill does is takes the information, basic non-confidential information from those alternative marketing agreements and makes it available. And it makes sure that there is a mechanism for that information to be put into resources that can actually be used by the independent cattle producers and the small feeders that are so critically important to this marketplace.
Johnson, who serves as the Republican leader of the Livestock and Foreign Agriculture Subcommittee, speaking in favor of H.R. 5609 in the House. He said the bill has broad support of both parties and a wide cross-section of the livestock industry, including the NCBA, the Farmers Union, the National Farm Bureau, and the Livestock Marketing Association.
Good people who have come together and understand that while this does not solve the problem, it is a critically important step and moving us in the right direction.
Cattlemen say the information potentially would help cattle producers know if they are being offered a fair price for their stock in a market where a handful of meatpackers control the processing.
You've probably been told that to reach a millennial farmer, you have to go digital. Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, an online publication, or maybe a podcast. But which one? Oh, and how receptive is this age group to your sales pitch during non-work social time? Maybe the best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they are, well, quite frankly, farming. You know, it's easy for us to find them during the day, as most farmers are behind the wheel of a pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station featuring the Ag Information Network News. If you'd like to deliver information about your terrific product or service, give us a call and we'll connect you directly with our community of loyal farmer listeners. Reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what is important to their farm operation. They trust us, they'll trust you.
With the Southeast Ag Report on the Ag Information Network, I'm Maura Bennett. For more ag news and comments, visit aginfo.net.
Thank you so much, Maura. And now here is your business news.
With the Wall Street Business Report, I'm Bill Alexander. President Joe Biden on Friday signed a short-term spending measure that keeps one set of federal agencies operating through March 8th and another set through the 22nd of the month. U.S. construction spending unexpectedly fell in January as weakness in outlays on public projects more than offset a moderate increase in private home building. New York Attorney General Letitia James said her office is investigating the cause of the AT&T wireless outage for up to 12 hours, as well as the firm's response. The Federal Communications Commission is also investigating the February 22nd outage. Volkswagen forecasts that sales growth would slow in 2024, joining competitors in warning of a weaker economic outlook. The United Steelworkers Union has reached a tentative agreement for a new contract with Canadian National Railway, covering 3,000 workers across Canada. For the Wall Street Business Report, I'm Bill Alexander in Washington.
All right, thank you so much, Bill. And now here is your sports report.
With SRN Sports, I'm Ron DeRockstra. In basketball yesterday, the Sixers got a win on the road, 121-116 over the Mavericks. Luka Doncic had 38 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists for his third consecutive triple-double. Teammate Kyrie Irving says they can't fold now after dropping four of their last five.
You know, some tough ones on the road, 1-3 on the road, come back home and not take care of home court. That's on us. We've got to take account of those as players. Got to bring the energy and, you know, no more excuses.
Celtics embarrassed the Warriors 140-88. Magic 113, Pistons 91, Raptors 111, Hornets 106. Knicks over the Cavaliers 107-98 and losing Jalen Brunson in the first minute with a left knee injury. Spurs beat the Pacers 117-105. Clippers edged the Timberwolves 89-88. And the Thunder recover from blowing a 24-point lead to beat the Suns 118-110. Third-ranked UConn clinches the outright Big East title by blowing out Seton Hall 91-61, as we hear from Tom Merriam.
The defending national champs were down 18-14 midway through the first half, but Dan Hurley's Huskies then went on a 30-11 run to take a commanding 44-29 lead at halftime. Stephon Castle led a balanced Huskies offense with 21 points. Donovan Klingon added 19 with 11 rebounds. Senior Tristan Newton in his last home game contributed 17 points and 10 assists.
In the NHL, the Caps beat the Caps lose, that is, to the Coyotes 5-2. The Kings blast the Devils 5-1. Jets beat the Sabres 5-2. That's the ninth win in the last 11 for Winnipeg. Wild edged the Sharks 4-3. Kirill Kaprizov posting his second hat trick in less than 2 weeks. Ducks fall to the Canucks 2-1. Connor Garland scored the go-ahead goal in the second period. And Zach Hyman scored two goals as the Oilers beat the Penguins 6-1. This is SRN Sports.
And there you have it. Another edition of Hardy Midday right here on Real Country 102.1 The Outlaw. I'm J.J. Mullis. Hardy Midday is sponsored by our good friends at First National Bank of Wauchula. Exceptional service and hospitality. You'll always find it at Hardy County's hometown bank. They've been here since 1960. That's First National Bank of Wauchula, located at 406 North 6th Avenue, right here in Wauchula. Stop in and visit them today. If you can't stop in, check them out online at fnbwauchula.com. Y'all have a great afternoon. I'll see y'all back here tomorrow at 12:05 for another edition of Hardy Midday.
or recording of today's show, send an email with the date of the show requested to hardymidday@gmail.com. Hardy Midday shows may not be sold or redistributed without the express written consent of WAUC Radio and Hardy Broadcasting. The news and event information presented in this show has been verified to the best of our ability. Please contact us if any errors are found. This has been Hardy Midday, a production of Hardy Broadcasting, LLC.